I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So this week, Marie and I are going to catch up on reading some of your listener-submitted stories. Our first one is from somebody named Isaac. They've written in before. Mm-hmm. And this one says, "Hi, witches. Sorry it's taking me so long to write in the other Florida stories. I've been a little preoccupied with studying for my exams, and I keep forgetting to write in. When my family first moved back to Florida in 2017, we spent a few months couch surfing at different friends' places. My mom got a job as a principal at a very small church/school for the upcoming school year, and when the administrator found out about our living situation, he offered to let us stay in an unused portion of the church. Before the school year started, some friends of mine would come over while our parents were working on getting the classroom set up. One day, while our parents were working, four of us decided to play hide and seek. Me and one of my friends decided to hide in the church sanctuary behind where the choir sat, and the sanctuary was pretty much pitch black except for the two exit signs at the other end of the room. Right after we settled in our spot, we saw this tall black figure moving from the side of the back, from the back of the sanctuary towards the stage. At first, we thought it was our friend trying to find us, but right as the figure was approaching the front row seats, one of the doors flung open and it was our friend looking for us. Her and I gave each other the "what the hell was that" look and bolted after our friends left the room. Shortly after this happened, some family friends of ours came to stay at the church with us during Hurricane Irma. With there being seven of us teens, we decided to do another mega round of hide and seek. Me and the friends, same friend I hid with the last time, decided to partner up again, and we hid in one of the elementary classrooms. Now, this classroom had a massive window that overlooked the elementary hallway that connected to the main high school hallway, and we decided that we would be our best vantage point to see if anybody was coming. A few minutes passed, and we suddenly heard three loud taps. At first, we thought it was a tree branch hitting the window outside because the wind was starting to pick up. But the tapping came from the hallway window. We tried to figure out what it was or if somebody was messing with us, but we were completely alone in that wing of the building. After a few attempts, we realized that this was the sound of a fingernail pecking the glass. After we took a break, we told our parents about what had happened, and around the time we heard the tapping, my dad and her mom heard a loud bang come from an empty storeroom, but the room was also empty. During our time living at the school, we would make sure that the building was locked up and empty before setting the alarms and going to bed. Around 11 one night, the alarm started to go off. We were freaking out thinking that somebody was trying to break in the building. So after we disarmed the alarm, we scanned the entire building only to find it empty. We heard somebody knocking on the door a few minutes later, and it was the sheriff. He asked if everything was okay, and we said that it was the kitchen alarm that detected movement. He checked the building while some officers checked the outside, and again, empty. Skipping forward a few months, my family moved out of the church into a hometown a mile down the road, into a townhome a mile, I can read, down the road from the church. It was such a relief having our own space again and to get reprieve from the paranormal. All that changed a few weeks into us living there. We would start catching whiffs of a really strong cigarette, and at first we thought it was our neighbors smoking on the porch. But the theory flew out the window after they moved out. And we're still smelling cigarettes. Gross. At first, we brushed it off, but we realized that we'd start smelling smoke and something. And sometimes the smell of rotting meat. Stop. Sorry. I'm like really processing that sentence because that's so disgusting. So you started to smell smoke and sometimes the smell of rotting meat before activity would pick up. No. One night, me and my mom were watching TV in our living room and started smelling cigarettes. And right after we heard my dad's keys moving the bowl, he kept them in. And we heard the knives rattling in the magnetic knife rack. Shut up. No. We went to the kitchen to find my dad's keys moved out of the bowl and some of the knives had rearranged themselves on the knife rack. Fuck off. We started walking back to the living room and we heard a crash and the air return grill. I don't know what that is. Is that the thing that goes over the oven? It says the air return grill. What is that?
I don't know.
Oh, is that a thing that is it like the fan?
Kind of like air conditioning? Yeah, vent.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted.
The ceiling had fallen out
and had a fist-size indent right in the center of it. A few weeks later, I was cleaning the living room when all of a sudden I started to smell cigarettes. Almost immediately, the closet and bathroom doors started aggressively rattling and I started to feel lightheaded. While this was happening, my dad was walking our dog and my mom was in the shower. When my dad got back, he said he felt super dizzy and almost passed out on the walk. Meanwhile, when my mom was showering, she said that she heard a man's voice talking to her while in the bathroom. We compared notes and figured out the events happened at the same time. Not too long after this, I had come home from school early one day because I was starting to feel sick. When I got home, I opened up the windows to get some fresh air and I laid down on the couch. Around lunchtime, I heard a loud slam come from upstairs. At that point, I figured it was the wind that shut one of the bedroom doors. So I went up to check and open the door. When I got upstairs, I saw the bedroom door was shut. And when I went to open the door, it felt like somebody was physically standing behind the door, keeping it shut. The handle was working and it wasn't locked, but my door wouldn't open. It took me 3 tries ramming my body weight into the door before I got it open. When I got into my room, there wasn't a draft or a breeze. I put my shoes in front of the door to keep the wind from shutting it, and I went back downstairs to rest. Not even 10 minutes later, I started to hear what sounded like heavy-footed man wearing heavy work boots marching from my bedroom to my parents' room on the other side of the house. It went on for a few hours, stopping and staring. stopping and starting up again irregularly. My dad also experienced the exact same thing when he was home alone shortly after my incident. Sorry that was a lot to read, but if you have any thoughts, I'd love to hear your viewpoint. Me and my family still feel incredibly confused by everything we experience. But in retrospect, we think whatever came from the church, none of us experienced anything similar since moving out of Florida.
The cigarette thing unleashed like a core memory for me because I've had that same exact experience. Yeah. Like, I think it was in that house that I lived at in Germany, like the old house that was like hundreds of years old and was used as a World War II place where soldiers would go and rest, the good guys. And
the good guys in Germany.
Well, it was like, you know, a safe area, but anyways,
gotcha.
And I do remember in my room, the same place I would see that soldier like sitting in the corner and I would try like not to look at him. I would smell cigarette smoke occasionally.
So gross.
I haven't thought about that in so long. Like, I was like, wait, that has happened to me too.
Sometimes when I come into my office, because obviously I have my spirit altar behind me, I'll smell cigarettes.
Huh. Weird.
So I think it's just because when you think about history and like ghosts and all that, and like how many people just like as a statistic fact would have smoked.
Yeah.
Not smoking is like a really new thing. Like, that's a, like, when we think about, like, you know, the grand world, mm-hmm. it's a really new thing. So
yeah. Yeah.
I think that that's what I've always just associated it with.
Yeah. Honestly, the one when they moved into the townhome, that just sounds like a grumpy, like, old man mm-hmm. ghost to me.
See, you know what, though? I immediately got old lady vibes.
Old lady vibes? Definitely. That could have been it. Well, I remember, like, they said man, so I wonder if, like, the energy
was they said that it sounded like a man's stompy feet, but, like, have you ever known? Am I the only one who has a passive-aggressive mom? Like, old ladies sometimes be stomping up and down stairs.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And it just sounds like a man, because they're so mad.
Yeah, I wonder what the rotting meat was about, though. Like, gross.
Do you remember that Tim and Eric bit that was like, kids, why would you bring that rotten meat in here of all places? That's like immediately what I thought of.
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Have you watched Tim and Eric?
I don't think so.
Holy fuck, Maria. You gotta fix that immediately. I quote Tim and Eric to this day all the time.
Was it from, like, back in the day?
It was from, like, 2014.
Oh.
2012, maybe. It was, like...
So, I was taking care of a toddler during that time, so my brain wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. Tim and Eric is, like, just, I don't know. Have you ever seen the TV show I Think You Should Leave?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God, Maria.
I'm sorry, Robin. I spent a lot of time in Germany and stuff like that. I didn't get like a bunch
this
of
This is
things.
Not I Think You Should Leave is on Netflix right now.
Right now?
It's a current show.
I've never heard it. Like, if you've what ever is seen, it?
I Think You Should Leave, Tim and Eric is the same kind of humor. It's like short little bits. Like, I don't know, it's like ADHD, it's ADHD TV is what it is. It's ADHD comedy. It's little skits that are, like, very random.
So, like, SNL or, like, Smosh
no.
or something like that?
No.
No?
It's, you just watch it. You need to just watch it.
Okay.
Go, after this, when you're laying on the couch doing nothing... Trying to get better from today's ailment.
Hey, today I'm okay, and I'm going to be cleaning up from the ailments and not and everything
well,
put I
on
put
on. In
off.
The background.
Yeah,
put
I
on
can
in
do
the background.
That.
It's very funny.
I have
funny.
A lot to do.
Tim and Eric's very funny. Donate your bones. It's just an emergency show. I don't understand how you've never seen the... Mm-hmm. I don't... Like, Tim and Eric is, like, foundational to me. Like, I literally have... My brother got me, for my birthday a couple years ago, a lapel pin.
Uh-huh.
Like, an enamel pin that is from Tim and Eric. And it's the guy with the aliens and the puppet. And I forget. It's the guy, drink your milk. Eat your milk. That guy, he got me that as, like, a pin. And it's so good.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
Don't take my word for it. Watch it. I'm going to be quizzing you. Because immediately as soon as Isaac started talking about the rotting meat, in my brain, the first thing I thought of is, what's that meat? Rotten meat. Kids, why would you bring that rotten meat in here of all places? And like, I need you to know that.
Okay, Mom, I'll look it up.
I need you to know that. I need you to know about that. I need you to do that.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's read one more story, and then we'll be done.
Okay, so this is someone who would like not to share their name. So they say, well, my life had turned upside down in one of the worst ways life can be turned upside down. A breakup with someone who I thought that loved me. I was in Heartbreak Central and it was bad. I've not cried that much in my adult life before. I was absolutely in the dumps. So I went to my local witchcraft store and bought two candles, a gray one to symbolize how I felt, just gray, sadness, nothingness, and a brown one to symbolize the shit dude I had been wasting so much time crying about. That's so funny. I love it when people use brown candles to symbolize, like, literal shit. But anyways, now I'm in a place where I can wish him well, but let's face it, we've all been in that place where we felt like the other person was a piece of shit. Yes, like, we're all capable. Everyone is capable of being a piece of shit. But I have used some twine, salt, and purification herbs, the candles, ocean jasper, and aragonite to channel my anger, hurt, and powerful topsy-turvy emotions into a cord-cutting spell so that I could release this person and everything that hurt. Basically, I wanted to move on. I wanted to make peace with it. So I do the spell, I write my poem, and I send off that energy, and I light the candles inside a extra large jar. I used it as an altar most of the time, but sometimes I use it to contain spell work to keep my cat away from fire and all that. That's super smart. Well, I did my thing, said some words, burned my poem about him, did some grounding work and some cleansing, etc. Drank some whiskey, let the candles burn, and turn on the TV to play Stardew and relax. Sounds like a great evening. When the candles burned down, typically I would have been fine as long as the fire wasn't next to the glass. I hadn't noticed that the piece of shit candle tipped over so that it was leaning on the glass. Typical of this dude, by the way. And bam, well, the glass exploded. Oh my gosh, that sucks. I was terrified. My glass jar was broken, but at the end of the night, it was just a dumb thing I did by using cheap non-tempered Walmart glass. I do see it as a symbol of releasing that anger, sadness, and hurt, though. And all in all, it did help me feel lighter, freer, and safer. I just don't have a nice looking glass jar anymore. Honestly, like, when it comes to spell work, yes, like, mistakes happen, or even like with reading tarot, let's say you're shuffling in a certain way. Like, I sometimes do view those mistakes like as maybe our inner self, or just like, you know, those things happening as a message. Like, it does happen. You know, everything it is like, you know, fade, or like, even a mistake can be, you know, kismet. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I recently had a client who's had workings against them. I'm not going to get into it because that's their business, but part of their spell work like was like exploding, and it's because there was just like this there's like this, you know, energy flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a firm believer that, like, yes, obviously we should be ruling out the mundane, but I also feel like even if it's like, well, I goofed up with this candle, mm-hmm. you know, the glass, and it's probably my fault, I would still do a reading just to be sure.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why tarot's so important, I feel like especially after mm-hmm. spell work and stuff like that. Just to do a checkup on how the spell went or if you noticed anything.
Yeah. Well, on that note, everyone, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. We love you. We'll see you next week. Next week for our regular episode, of course. You can check out the links on our website to our submission form, or you can shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcultures.com. I can read. Or you can send us a voicemail at 351-207-0799. Remember, it's got a 3-minute cutoff, so just call us back. We'll smash it together. We would love to hear any ghost stories, witchy stories, tips, or topics that you think that the community would love to hear.
And as always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts, or you can support us directly. Consider joining us on Patreon, where we share articles. We have a Spell of the Month box, a class, which you can just go to Patreon and join just one class if you don't want the subscription thing. Like, that's what we're going to do for the Siri class. So yeah, come join us even for that one time. Or you could just join our Patreon and get the whole backlog of classes. I mean, you yes. get everything that we have recorded thus far, besides the first few, because we had some technical difficulties. But
yes,
we still have a lot of classes on there.
A lot of classes. And I would like to say, too, for anybody who's looking for this upcoming class, if you are not in the library tier and up, you want to buy just the class, unfortunately, you would have to be purchasing the class as soon as it goes live. Otherwise, you're going to have to watch it late. You won't be able to watch it live. That's just part of, unfortunately, how buying the individual classes goes. So if you want to be live, you want to ask Siri questions, get in the library tier. That's part of the benefit of paying that little bit of extra money. So come join us.
Yeah. And we also have a Discord, which is full of a great community. We have so many events. There's so many things to do, so much to talk about. But yeah, come see us and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.